If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour two of a Big Boy Tuesday. It's brought to you by the Granite Group. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. Again, the Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. In case you missed the first hour of the program, again, catch on 98.5thesportshub.com or the podcast. But I think the lead item from Greg Bedard is that he feels there was a disconnect between the players and the coaches down the stretch here. Can you just expand on that again, Greg? Give it to me one more time.
Yeah, so from what I understand from talking to people around the team and figuring out what went wrong, that after the bye week, there was a disconnect between the players and the coaches in terms of and just think about it this way. So, you know, the Patriots went 2-4 to start the season. So that means that, you know, they were 3-8 around their 7-game winning streak. They were 2-4, and we saw what happened. They were a mess on, specifically on defense. I think offensively they were doing about what we thought they would, but the defense got off to a terrible start, and they were undisciplined. They were not playing how they were supposed to, and or how we're used to them playing, and culminated by the 3rd and 25 against Dallas, giving out 24 yards there, forcing overtime. There was a change that, you know, Belichick basically took over the defense. He was the alpha voice on defense after that, and you could see it on the field. All of a sudden, the guys were doing their job, and the execution was awesome from the front end to the back end, and the run fits were better, and you know they were doing everything a lot better. Then the bye week happened. I don't know specifically what happened. I'm putting the pieces together from things that I've heard from people that basically perhaps that Belichick gave Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo back control of the defense at the bye week, and all of a sudden they reverted back to what they were at the beginning of the season. And you know, the guys didn't, there was a lack of a alpha male voice on the defense. Like, who's dictating what we're doing? Who's the final say on the game plan? Who's telling which player to do what? And I think that some of the players started to question what they were being asked to do again. Like, you know, am I being put in the right position? Do we have good game plans? Similar to like how we heard earlier in the season when Devin McCourty was questioning play calls in press conferences. I think that kind of stuff was going down on the field in the final five games, culminating with Buffalo. And the thing is, you could see it on the field. They absolutely disintegrated in terms of their execution and also their buy-in. Guys weren't doing their job. Matthew Judon's tackling people 10 yards away from the ball. You know, Devon Godchow's getting run all over the place. It was a complete mess down the stretch. The Buffalo was the worst defense I've ever seen a Patriots defense play. And to me, it starts with the Patriots didn't like what they were hearing from the coaches and didn't buy into what they were doing.
Anthony, your thoughts? You're shaking your head again.
Yeah, because look, again, as Greg talks about this, to me, I'll tell you what it all sounds like to me. There's dysfunction on the coaching staff on the defensive side, specifically between Stephen Belichick and Gerard Mayo. So if Bill Belichick turns it back over and you don't have a clear defensive coordinator, well, think about it. You've got established guys on that side of the ball who played a long time and who played with Mayo. Okay, they played with Mayo, who, again, was a two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. Gerard Mayo, highly respected player. So Are they going to listen to him, or are they going to listen to Stephen Belichick? Like, the whole dynamic that Bill set up on that side of the ball with his son as one of the co-coordinators and Gerard Mayo as the other is just screaming for division in that defensive core. It's screaming for it. We talked about it earlier in the year. And then, Mike, go back to all the stuff that happened in the, call it the first third of the season, maybe the first half, with Stephen Belichick getting props on national broadcast while Gerard Mayo was all but ignored. Like, that whole thing is messed up. That is messed up. You have this campaign going. What's the priority? To get the kid a job or to put the best defense on the field? Like, the whole thing just smells.
Okay, follow-up, Greg, before we go back to the phones?
Nope, all set.
Okay, babe, your thoughts out there. James and Dudley. Go ahead, James.
Yes. What are your thoughts on bringing back Brian Flores from Miami since he doesn't have a job anymore?
Okay, so where we go from here, Greg? Where we go from here, how do you clean up that dysfunction or that disconnect? But if Gerard Mayo gets a job, well, that's sort of an easy one. Steve Belichick gets elevated. He's the defensive coordinator. That's what that is. Do you think it's as simple as that? And could he, I mean, how could Bill bring back a defensive coordinator and elevate him on top of his kid? You think Bill is capable of, any father is capable of doing that?
God, I would hope so. I mean, I think Brian Flores is going to get a head coaching job one way or the other. But like, basically, it's up to Bill that he needs to find the one voice, the guy who's going to be the Josh McDaniels is to the offense. He needs that for the defense. He needs somebody that, you know, can just take care of that. You know, it could be Matt Patricia that was, you know, up in the coaching booth this year, consultant. I mean, I would love if it was Brian Flores because he's the type of guy who will kick some ass and get asses in line and get them playing better. I don't care who you are and how much money you've signed for. He's going to get you to play. I mean, the last time the Patriots played really good defense, he was here. He was the guy. And I think he's one of their best defensive coordinators they've ever had. I just don't think you're going to be able to get him. But I hope it happens because I do think he's the right guy for the job.
Ryan in Uxbridge. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, this one's for Big Boy. Kevin Colbert. Steelers GM, he's been able, essentially, I looked at it the past 20 years, he's essentially been able to pick a decent wide receiver every, on average, 2 years. Santonio Holmes, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown.
Yep.
What can we do? Can we pick his brain? Like, what can we do to understand what they're doing over there to get those types of receivers?
Is receiver a priority for the Patriots, Greg, and do you trust Bill to do it?
They have to be able to draft a receiver at some point. They have to, one that can play. They have to. And do I trust Bill? No. I mean, I don't know why he just doesn't let Josh McDaniels do it. I mean, Josh McDaniels had one draft in Denver, and he got Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker out of it. And that's pretty good to me. And Demaryius Thomas played in a run offense at Georgia Tech, and they still found a great receiver in that. So, you know, yes, they need to find a receiver. Kevin Colbert, as far as I know, is going to be with the Steelers through the draft. And I don't think the Steelers and Patriots have been overly friendly over the years.
Boy, that would stun me. That to me would be, that means Bill's moved on. What, you're going to hire the Pittsburgh Steelers GM to come over and take over Bill's draft board and Bill's right. roster? No chance. You want to tell me that there's some subtle massaging going on internally with some of their guys like Ziegler and Elliott Wolf? That I will allow. That I think has happened, where Bill has been more collaborative. But those were sort of his guys to begin with, or organizational guys, or whatever. It's a very subtle thing, and it's internal and fine. I think that's happened, and maybe that'll happen further this offseason. You're telling me now you're going to hire the Pittsburgh Steelers GM to come? No shot. Bill's gone. Like, that to me is not a realistic scenario. Jeff in Brimfield. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Hey, Greg. Love you every week. Always look forward to it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Question here. You talk about, you know, all these things you're saying about how Bill does what's best for the team, all this and that. I keep going back in history, thinking about all the things that happened, like, you know, Garoppolo for a second-round pick, letting Brady go.
So, Jeff, we've been over this. It's really, when he says, I'm doing what's best for the team, he's doing what's best for himself in most cases. Do you have a second thought on that?
Yes, actually, I want to know, is there a better time than right now with the Giants being open to move on from Bill?
Okay. Is this at all realistic to talk about this thing, Greg? moving on from Bill?
No. I mean, he's going to finish career when he wants to finish career, likely as soon as he passes Don Shula. But, I don't waste my time thinking about Bill Belichick. I mean, I did for a while, and he did flirt with other jobs in the past around the time of, you know, Brady leaving or, you know, when they were having dysfunction. He definitely kept his options open. I think that now that Brady's gone and he's in charge and basically the Crafts had to pick Brady or Belichick and they picked Belichick, he's here till he finishes and he needs to finish the job.
Okay, what were you going to say there? You interjected something there and we cut you off. What were you going to say there? Do you remember?
And I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it.
I don't remember.
Okay. Are you sure that if Bill, if it looks like this, Bill's guaranteed 3-4 more years to pass Shula? If it's just 10-7, 6 seed, 1-done, that sort of thing, not closing the gap on the Bills, do you think Belichick's allowed to stay here till the end?
Probably, because I don't think it gets any worse. I think they, you know, last year was rock bottom. This year was a step up from rock bottom, the way that they finished. I think it gets better from here. I think Mac gets better from here. You get better quarterback play. You're a little bit closer. Every game you can say, well, if this thing went right or this, then, you know, we could have done X, Y, or Z. So I have confidence in that Belichick is going to at least get it righted to where they're, you know, winning playoff games every year. Are they winning the Super Bowl? I don't know. We need to see what he does with personnel, with, you know, possibly a lot of guys out the door after the season.
Okay, 10 questions with Bedard right after these words.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And, of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 10 Questions with Bedard is presented by Granite City Electric. Electrical contractors, get on board the GCE Night Train. Order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site the following morning. It's a great deal there. You save time and money by doing this. Go to GCENightTrain.com. Again, you want to order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site the following morning. GCENightTrain.com for more details. 10 questions, 10 minutes. Jimmy, we've got to be on time. What are our buzzer options?
Some guys like to get real hyped up and stuff.
Hyped up and stuff, baby. Next.
Runaway rusher, pump fake, buys himself time. That's just a great play.
It's a neutral play.
That's me and Bedard on his podcast last year, me trying to get it through his head that Josh Allen is good. He didn't want to see it then. I don't think he wants to see it now. Next.
You're saying because he didn't see the fellow there 32 yards down the field, that's a minus play?
Yes.
About an hour of that, if you could stand it. Next.
What's that? He's 10 yards off him, and he still runs by him by 5 yards. Unacceptable.
It's commentary from the other night in Buffalo from Zoe. Next.
Take 15 and set him down. Sit him down. Put a jacket on him. He don't want to be out here. Sit him down. Are you watching it?
Yeah, I am, but yeah. I mean, to say that he doesn't want to be out here.
Okay,
that's unfair. Okay, so that's Sosie.
Rain it in, Zoe.
That is awesome.
Scolding Zoe in real time on the broadcast. Next.
Out-coached, out-schemed, to de-pantsing.
De-pantsing, says Zoe. Finally.
This last one is from the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning broadcast last night.
Love it.
Actually, before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. I can't hear shit. Never mind.
Okay. I never saw 1 minute of that thing all season long. I don't feel that much worse for it. Next, go. Hit it.
Actually, before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. I can't hear shit. Never mind.
Okay, Greg, thoughts on the Dallas quarterback draw call and how that game ended?
Dak ran too far. They look like they've never practiced before. Just a lack of good coaching.
Definition of stupidity.
As dumb as it was hilarious, and a play that also cemented the Cowboys' legacy as playoff losers over the last 25 years. There's great stuff on social media the last day or so of how many quarterbacks have more playoff wins than the Cowboys in the last 25 years. Mark Sanchez has more playoff
wins. Jake DeLome.
Yeah. Jake DeLome. So, and I would fire Mike McCarthy, too.
So we talked a lot about it yesterday. One thing I'll add that I didn't bring up again yesterday, and I brought it up many, many times here in this segment. I think the NFL should go to the college rule of stopping the clock in the last 5 minutes on first downs to give the guys time to set the ball, move the chains. I think, not that I want to bail out bad refs or slow refs or bail out Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. Least of all, I want to do that. I just think it sets up more fantastic finishes. You just give a Brady, a Mahomes, a Rodgers, a Dak Prescott. You give them one extra play, a few extra beats, you're going to get more great finishes. And so I would do that if I were the league. It would eliminate that nonsense from the other night, even though, again, I don't want to let anyone off the hook there. Nine, next.
Out-coached, out-schemed, to deep pantsing.
Number nine, your thoughts on the inadvertent whistle and the officiating in general in Cincinnati on Saturday, Greg.
Yeah, on the whistle, I thought I heard something during the play, you know, as it was going on, and I guess there was an inadvertent whistle during the course of action. I didn't think it affected the play. I thought it was, you know, sort of bang bang. It's not like everybody stopped playing or something like that. So I didn't have an issue with it, but, you know, that's what you get. Jerome Boger's crew, they're always terrible.
I want to know who and why, definitively. Like, did the guy on the sideline there that think that Burrow had stepped out, is that what happened? Because, again, if you're not sure, don't blow the effing whistle. Let the play go. Jesus.
Jail all the refs this season and now leaking into the postseason. It's the worst I've ever seen. Jail the refs.
So that's a little strong to me. The inadvertent whistle was the least of it to me. I thought, what a just a clown show that whole game was. The number of holding flags on the Raiders, some of which they deserve, but
some were real ticky-tack, Mike.
Some were real ticky-tack. What are you doing? It's a fourth quarter of a playoff game, and you're running up the middle, and there's a little tug on a guy who's already on the ground, and you're throwing the freaking flag? Like, I thought that was more egregious than anything else. Next.
What's that? He's 10 yards off him, and he still runs by him by 5 yards. Unacceptable.
Your thoughts on Super Wild Card Weekend?
It was horrible. It was terrible football. I probably watched maybe combined like one game. Yeah, good job, NFL. That's all we need is more, you know, bad football. Giving one team a bye, I just think I hated that. If they were going to expand it, I want them to go to two more teams because at least you give two teams a bye and then you have teams that are closer in ability playing. Now, like the 2-7 game, the only 2-7 game, if I'm not mistaken, that's been close was Colts-Bills last year, thanks to Josh Allen vomiting himself. But it's terrible, terrible product.
Throwing out the football purity part of it, which is obviously how Greg looks at it, I thought there was a lot of entertainment value for controversial reasons. Again, the whistle in Cincinnati, Dallas running out the clock. Obviously here the Patriots got their asses kicked. Like, there was a lot of controversy, a lot of stuff to talk about. The one thing I will say, I didn't think it would be the case, but the Monday night game, I had wished, when I got to it last night, I wished it had been played on Sunday.
I'm mostly with Greg on this. I thought it was uncompetitive trash, and whether that's teams that have no business being there, like Pittsburgh and Philly, or maybe it's teams that were gassed, maybe because of the extra game, the first Super Wild Card weekend, a dud.
Okay, a lot of non-competitive games. I would agree with that. I don't care. Give it to me. Give me 17 games. Give me 18 games. Give me the Super Wild Card weekend. I'll take it, even if it's not up to snuff. Next.
Runaway rusher, pump fake, buys himself time. Ugh. That's just a great play.
It's a neutral play.
Number seven, who are you rooting for the rest of the way, Greg?
Vrabel. I don't know. I just love him, think he's cool, love watching his team, love the way that they play, old school football. I don't know. I'm rooting for Vrabel.
I go week to week. I'm going Tampa Bay, San Fran this week, Buffalo, Cincinnati this week. I want those four teams.
I mean, you even have to ask. It's Brady and Tampa. But if not them, I want the Buffalo Bills for spite.
Okay, of course, I'm rooting for America's team, the team, only team in pro sports, of the people, for the people, by the people. And for the 3 hours, I root for that a-hole Aaron Rodgers, and then go back to hating him. But that's an easy answer right there for me. Why, Bedard, you're already sighing? What?
Go, no, I just want go pack go.
Yeah, that's it. Next.
Some guys like to get real hyped up and stuff.
Okay, and stuff. Of all the tool bags and all the tool baggery resulting from that Dallas finish, who's number one on the tool bag hit list from that whole situation?
I mean, it's got to be Mike McCarthy. I mean, from, you know, what the hell are his coordinators doing? The fake punt, staying on the field, you know, delay a game. What's the offense doing? 15 penalties, like, and his look on the face when he's looking at it and he's swearing. Like, it was just rough for Mike McCarthy.
McCarthy in a landslide. Complete landslide. That whole thing, that was one of the most poorly coach games I think I've ever seen. 14 penalties, 6 pre-snap. That team was not ready to play.
It's McCarthy. And never mind the quarterback draw from the middle at the 41-yard line with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. It's the penalties, like these two have said. All those penalties, reflection of the head coach.
Okay, to me, it's clearly Dak Prescott for his post-game comments, giving credit to the fans for throwing bottles and debris at the referees as they ran off the field. I lost respect for Dak Prescott in this whole situation. I didn't respect McCarthy to begin with, so, you know, he was already down there. Dak Prescott, the way you played, to then just so blatantly blame the refs after and then encourage fans abusing, throwing things at officials who could really get hurt on the field. Oh, you freaking loser. Dak Prescott, easily the biggest tool bag from that whole situation. Next.
You're saying because he didn't see the fellow there 32 yards down the field, that's a minus play?
Yes.
Number 5, rank the 8 remaining quarterbacks in order, Greg. The 8 remaining quarterbacks, I'm curious where you have the aforementioned Josh Allen.
Number 1, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Tannehill.
So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You had Allen what number there?
5th.
Okay.
I had him 5th.
Okay.
Probably the most controversial one would be Burrow. I feel Burrow's on the upswing. I think I've long viewed him as the next sort of Tom Brady, and I feel a little bit safer with him.
And you've got Rodgers ahead of Brady and Mahomes.
Yep.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, because he doesn't win, but either way, Maz?
Okay, so I'm not that far off. I think the first 5 guys, honestly, there's not much of a gap. Brady, Rodgers, Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Stafford, Garoppolo, Tannehill.
You hear that, Greg? He has Josh Allen ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Did you hear that?
I go Brady.
Yeah, that's Tony doesn't know anything about football, so that's good.
Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Stafford, Jimmy G, Tannehill.
Okay, that's close to it. Brady 1, Mahomes 2. I mean, come on, Brady, Mahomes. Rodgers is 3. Allen
Wait. Hang on. How do you not have Rodgers? What, you're dismissing Rodgers?
He doesn't.
He's going to be the MVP, Mike.
I gotta go win. He's the MVP. Who gives a poop? Win. You must win. Pat Mahomes has been in the league 10 minutes. He's already been to more Super Bowls. I care who wins.
Yeah, he hasn't been very good this year.
I care who wins in a big.
If the Chiefs lose to the Bills, it's likely going to be because Mahomes turns the ball over too much.
Well, let's
see. He's been a different guy this year.
Let's see. In a big spot, I trust Pat Mahomes 10 times more than Aaron Rodgers, and I trust Tom Brady 100 times more than Aaron Rodgers. But he's still 3rd. Allen is 4th. Burrow's 5th. You can't put Burrow ahead of Josh Allen right now. Not yet. Okay? And then
it's pretty
simple. Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tannehill. It's a pretty easy list, really. Next.
Take 15 and set him down. Sit him down. Put a jacket on him. He don't want to be out here. Sit him down. Are you watching it?
Yeah, I am, but yeah. I mean, to say that he doesn't want to be out here.
Okay.
That's unfair.
You need to go into timeout, Scott.
Do the same thing with the 8 remaining coaches. Rank them.
Vrabel, McVay, Shanahan, McDermott, Reed, LaFleur, Taylor, Arians.
Wait a minute. You have Shanahan ahead of Andy Reid?
Yep.
Yeesh.
Jesus.
Wow.
Next, Maz, go.
Vrabel, Reed, McVay, LaFleur, Arians, McDermott, Shanahan, Taylor.
Reed, Vrabel, McVay, McDermott, LaFleur, Shanahan, Taylor, Arians.
I knew you were going to do that. I guess he's got to blame the coach, not Brady, if and when they lose. But Arians is down there. I think the top 3 is clear. I have McVay 1, and I know he's never won, but boy, they always sort of seem well-coached to me.
I never really feel like it's a coaching thing with them. McVay's one, Vrabel's two.
Except when he lost the Super Bowl to Belichick.
Was that a coaching thing, you think?
Yeah, he completely got outcoached. He even admitted it.
They weren't ready for zone defense.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But it's never really, I guess you're right on that. But it wasn't like a clown show. It's not like I'm watching Mike McCarthy. Like the team is, maybe he had a bad game plan that day. Or his team's typically undisciplined or stupid. Or like they're one of the least penalized teams in the league usually, right? I don't know. Yes. I'm just a believer in McVay. McVay, Vrabel, Reed, 1, 2, 3. That's a pretty easy list too. Let's do this. Let's get you updated, Big Jim Murray, real quick. We have three to go. We were too wordy, too long. We'll wrap up the final three. You don't want to miss them. We'll do it right after the update.
Go, Greg.
Go, Pack. Go,
Pack. Go. This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day.
Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not.
Wrapping up 10 questions. Give me a buzzer, Jimmy, number 7.
Some guys like to get real hyped up and stuff.
Okay. This is number 3. Okay. 3 left. If Jimmy Garoppolo had stayed in New England, Greg Bedard, would Bill Belichick have beaten the late game jitters out of him? Or is this just what he is? I'm not talking about the durability piece. I'm talking about what he did in the fourth quarter in Dallas and what he's done in other games, crapping his pants. If he had stayed here, would he be the same pants crapper or would Bill have beaten that out of him?
Oh, I don't know. Part of me wants to say that they would manage him the right way and that I don't think he's an ideal fit for Shanahan's system. But, man, a part of me just thinks that this is who he is. He's just jittery with poo in his diaper and at the worst times.
Bill would have beat it out of him. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, shocking answer there.
Of course he says that.
The pants crapping is inherent. He's got too much suck in him. Super Bowl, that second half of this game in Dallas on Sunday, that's inherent. So no.
Okay, I agree with Maz. I think pants crapping sort of follows Kyle Shanahan. So I think that's a bad match when it comes to Shanahan and Garoppolo. They don't exactly bring out the best in each other. I think Belichick would have gotten more out of Jimmy Garoppolo. I can't guarantee he would have stayed on the field because I think the softness is inherent and tough to beat out of him. But that other thing, I don't think he would have been quite the same guy here. Next.
Runaway rusher, pump fake, buys himself time. That's just a great play.
It's a neutral play.
Okay. Bill's been downing Josh Allen pretty much his whole professional career, and he continues to. Number 2, of all the head coaching candidates out there, who is the best, Greg? Who would you hire if you were an owner looking for a coach right now?
Jim Harbaugh would be my number one candidate. Then it would be McDaniels and Flores.
Bedard stole my guy. He stole my guy. I say Harbaugh every year. Right now, I'd say Brian Flores, believe it or not.
And quickly, Maz, why don't you share with the people what you shared on Instagram about Jim Harbaugh today?
Oh, so this is a true story. Last night, I had a dream that I met Jim Harbaugh, and we were sitting at a table, and I said to him, dude, you got to get out of college. You are way too good a coach to be in college. Like, I think I'm having like some sort of mental breakdown.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. When you start dreaming the takes, that's when you know it's time to.
That's a real Harbaugh sickness. Flores is the guy.
Okay, next.
Actually, before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's gonna break down that touchdown.
I can't hear.
Never mind.
Number 1, do you think this could be Tom Brady's last season? And what's up with some of the subtle hints about that, you know, potentially being his last year from reporters like Seth Wickersham and Adam Schefter? Your thoughts, Greg?
I don't know what you're referring to about these subtle hints, but Brady being his last year, no, I think he's trying to. He might be done with Arians and might be orchestrating who succeeds him and who he finishes up with. But no, I don't think he hangs it up.
I wouldn't rule it out. I look again, you know, there's a lot of crap going down there. Antonio Brown was a pain in the ass. Like, if he walks at any point, I would not be surprised.
Brady doesn't want to retire, and I think he absolutely does not want to play for Bruce Arians any longer. Jimmy Stewart's alluded to this here and there over the last couple of months. I think his camp, the Brady camp, is using guys like Wickersham and the threat of retirement to force the Bucs in their hand for Arians to retire.
So,
and just quickly, it turns out Antonio Brown might have had a point. If you watch this game on Sunday, their stud right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, high ankle sprain, leaves the game. Goes back out there, gets him hurt. Brady gets sacked again. He got sacked four times on Sunday by that Eagles team and nearly gets his head decapitated. He's a moron. He is an absolute moron, and I don't blame Brady for looking at him and saying, you're the problem.
So once again, and I haven't heard either, but Seth Wickersham put it at the end of his story and also alluded to it that he wouldn't be surprised if this were Brady's last season. Yeah, and he put it, I think he said,
it was crowbarred in an article about Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he also said something along the lines of, I wouldn't be surprised if this was Brady's last year and Aaron Rodgers' last season with the Packers. And Schefter also said something along those lines.
Yeah,
right?
Sunday afternoon, like, again, he was asked about it because this is ESPN and Wickersham, you know, is an extension of ESPN. And he just said, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something along the lines of, you know, Brady's going to assess after the postseason. It was like, I just, you know, I was bringing up laundry. I heard that. I was like, okay, here's something else with this. So it's not a lock that he's going to be back in 2022. I just don't think he wants to retire, but he doesn't want to play for this moron
so
anymore.
So what he's doing is he's leveraging his availability to the ownership there in Tampa Bay, saying, well, if you're going to keep that coach, I'm going to retire. If we can, you know, move on, I'll come back for one more year. So there's another palace queue, if you will, going on with Tom Brady. Thank God he keeps winning, because it's all acceptable when you win at the level that he wins at. But he's up to the same stuff. And so what does he want then? Does he just want, like, Todd Bowles as the head coach and Leftwich as the OC?
Yeah, elevate Leftwich, either or of those guys.
Okay. It won't be Leftwich.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, what do you know?
Yeah, what do you believe?
I don't think it'll be Leftwich, but yeah, I think that Brady is leveraging to get Bruce Arians out of there in Tampa.
Okay, so what's the problem there with those two then, Jimmy? What do you know about that?
Brady is doing more work than he feels he should be doing, and there's a newfound respect for Brady, for Bill, and the program that he's run here. I think Arians is just one of these guys who's a rah-rah, give me all the credit for the success, when it's Tom Brady who is doing all this mental prep and doing more than Brady thinks that he should be doing to run the team and run the offense.
Okay.
Somebody's got to rein Brady in.
Well,
he's winning.
Yeah, but so what if Arians runs such a loose ship that the players aren't ready to go and Brady's the one that has to get them ready to go?
Well, too bad. Then get him ready to go. Like, I'm not going to
why is that Brady's
NFC Championship game again?
Why is that Brady's problem if the coach isn't getting the players ready to go?
Call his bluff. You want to retire? Go ahead and retire. Like, so what's it? How many places is the guy going to go and complain about the coach?
As long as he keeps winning Super Bowls, he can do whatever he wants.
Okay, well, if you think so, I do think so.
Yes,
was he upset that Antonio Brown got chased out of town? I'm going to, like, completely, you know, turn over my franchise to a 45-year-old QB? No.
Why fight this now? It turns out Tom's the most right about everything.
Yeah, exactly.
He's bluffing.
No, the guy that you say no to is the guy that loses, Aaron Rodgers. That's the guy that doesn't get the final say. When you win the freaking Super Bowl every other year, you get the final say. Yep.
He's bluffing.
That's the way that goes. And so if I'm the Glazers or whoever there in Tampa, bye-bye, Brucey. See you later. I'm not making that mistake twice. I did it once here. I ain't doing it again.
I wonder if Brady would call Skarnecki and see if he wants to be the head coach for one season.
To me, it makes perfect sense to have Bowles be the head coach. He does the defense. Brady and Leftwich do the offense, and they run it on their own.
Leftwich would be fired.
And I would let him. And Brady doesn't like Leftwich either?
No.
Jesus. Well,
Brady doesn't like anybody.
Fire them all. Fine.
Right.
Whoever Tommy wants, Tommy gets. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering. Great people doing great work.
Cool.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You could argue there were elements of last night's game and some other games, but you're right. Last night's game was the least competitive game that we played last year. So, again, is that what we are, or is that a bad night? We'll see when we start playing again next year, I guess.
Okay, wrapping up with Bedard here. Was Saturday in Buffalo a one-off, Greg, or what they actually are?
Yeah, if a one-off lasted for five games to end the season, I mean, what is he talking about? What has he been watching? This team fell behind outside of the Jaguars game, for the 50-burger club out there, 84-14 in their four losses to finish the season. It was not a one-off. They completely fell off a cliff, mostly on defense, which was awful. They need to look at a lot on that side of the ball, from the coaching to the players and how they do things.
Okay, so if going forward, you're focusing on defense over offense if you had to prioritize?
Yeah, I think that I think the offense has more room to grow and to do better than the defense. I mean, I would really love to add, if Bill was only allowed one offensive part to add, it would be a slot receiver for me, something I've been talking about all year, a speedy, quick slot guy. Give Mac Jones that. I think the other pieces you can make work, including Aguilar, maybe not Jonnu Smith, but everybody else. But yes, outside of that, got to go all defense, because, it's going to have to go hand in hand. Everybody's going to have to do their part. Mac Jones is not going to be Patrick Mahomes or one of these great quarterbacks. You're going to have to do your part on defense.
Let me ask you that piece to it. Is Mac Jones good enough to be that guy going forward? And I'll just, put it in the context of, you look at the eight teams left, six of the guys are elite or near elite, and it's like this every single year, Greg. You get to the final eight, which I always think is like sort of the line of demarcation to me. If you're in the divisional round weekend, I take you seriously. You're a good team. And, to me, that's always where I draw the line, the final eight. And then certainly when you get to the final four, but it's like this every year. There's some combination of Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers. Now it's Allen. Now you add Joe Burrow. You're talking about elite guys are here and are standing at this time of year. It's like this every single year. And then there's always a couple of outliers like Tannehill or Garoppolo. But right now, the Patriots at quarterback, and maybe even going forward, are more on that Garoppolo-Tannehill side of the equation than the Rodgers-Mahomes-Brady side of the equation. Can the Patriots win at a high level? What?
I was just going to say, you mean the Jimmy Garoppolo who nearly won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, but
you're talking about him like he's trash, like their team's trash.
No, he's just not an elite guy. I mean, come on, he's not an elite guy. So the Patriots are closer to the non-elite grouping, the two or three teams that leak in every year with non-elite guys than they are with a quarterback with an elite guy. Why are you getting all pissy about this?
Just go on with your question.
Can they survive being on that end of the spectrum?
Yes. Yeah, they can. They can win Super Bowls. They can go to Super Bowls with a quarterback who is good enough, who is in the upper third of the league. I think Mac Jones can get there. It's just going to have to be a team concept. The Patriots have always won with a team concept, so I don't think the formula changes as long as they stick with the same formula.
Whoa!
Then yes, I think Mac Jones.
They won with the. They didn't win with the greatest quarterback in the history of the league.
I didn't say that. I said they have won with a team concept. Did they not win with a really good defense the first three titles? Did they not play pretty good defense? What about, in the Rams Super Bowl? How many points did the Rams score? It's always been a team thing. Yes, Brady's great, and Brady has had great, phenomenal moments, and he's the best ever. That's great. But that's not why they won Super Bowl titles, not because of Brady. We're going to go through this crap again? Can you let me answer? I'm giving you my answer, okay? The Patriots have always won because of a team concept. The defense has been good enough. Oftentimes, it's been better than the offense. Sometimes the special teams have been pretty good. Adam Vinatieri was pretty good at his job, too. It's got to be a marriage of the three phases. And do I think Mac Jones is capable of winning a Super Bowl title? I think so. I don't know so right now. He's only a rookie. But yes, I think so.
Without you getting all bent out of shape about this, would you not say that having one of those elite guys gives you more margin for error on those other pieces? In other words, I don't need to say in other words. You have more margin for error with one of those guys, which is why those teams are almost always here at this level, even despite their flaws.
Sure.
Ha ha ha!
I don't know why this angers you. It's a very,
it's a stupid question.
It's definitely not a stupid question.
Why was LeSean McCoy just talking about, you know, the effect that Brady had on the whole team?
God, here we go. Now we're going back to last year. Can we move on, please?
No. I am. I'm talking about this weekend, and the guy's still standing. And I'm telling you, going forward, we'll get to this weekend and next weekend every single year, Greg. And there will be some combination of Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson. Every year, those guys are going to be there, just like it has been.
Where was Russ this year?
Okay, it's not every year, and it's not every guy every year. I told you, some combination of the elite of the elite are going to be standing in the final eight and the final four.
What happened in 2019 to the Patriots? How come they weren't there? Because they have an elite quarterback who makes up for everything.
Yeah, in 2019, you're right. So that was the outlier. More often than not, Greg, you want to go through it every year? Who's left standing? Why are you arguing this? Like, it's just a fact. When you get to this weekend and next weekend, these elite quarterbacks.
Yes, this is what you believe, Mike. Yes, we all understand what you believe. I told you what I believe, which is that Mac Jones is capable of leading them to a Super Bowl if he has a good team around him. Period. End of story.
Okay. I don't know why you're angry about this, but because
you don't want to hear my answer.
No,
this is why I always get frustrated. No, you don't. You argue against it. You hear my answer. You give me no respect. You don't want to hear it. And then you go on with your diatribe and then it's only elite and this and talent and this, you know, just say, okay, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it.
Okay. So, I think the question is, when you have one of those elite guys, you can win a Super Bowl with a buffoon as a coach like Mike McCarthy. You can win with a defense that is not up to snuff like some of the Patriots teams here the last couple of years.
Tampa's defense was pretty good last year.
Or the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago. So I think that elite guy gives you great margin for error. The other things don't need to be at the top. And yes, of course, to have a nice balanced team, you want to play some defense and have some good coaching, but the elite quarterback is going to overcome those things and get you there more often than not. And those teams are always ahead of everybody else because of that one player. And that is just a fact. If that makes you mad, I can't help you on that, Greg. And the question is, can Mac Jones be that guy? Can he be that guy, or does everything else have to be operating at the highest level for him to get there? That to me is the fundamental question with Mac Jones.
He's never going to be an elite talent quarterback. He's never going to be. He's not an elite talent quarterback. That's not the end all and be all. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, you think that elite talent being one of those guys means everything. And I just disagree with that. He has a chance. Tom Brady was not an elite traits quarterback early in his career. They won Super Bowls, but he wasn't an elite trait quarterback. Mac Jones is never going to be that, but can they win Super Bowls? Yes.
Greg, you don't think the league's different than it was in the early 2000s?
I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
I don't know why this upsets you, but that's okay. Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. You're going to be the next couple of weeks, right? We can continue the conversation.
Yep, through the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Good. I look forward to it greatly.
Me too. Absolutely.
Sounds it.
Okay. I honestly don't know.
Big boy.
I honestly don't know what happened there, but either way, let's pick up that conversation, okay? Because I think it's sort of like a fundamental thing about the league and what teams are here and what you can get away with when you have one of those quarterbacks. You can get away with less than great coaching. You can get away with less than great defense. You can get away with other things because that one guy makes up for it. I mean, that is hardly some sort of a hot take or some sort of outrageous statement. I think it's just sort of a fact of the league. And does Mac Jones, will he ever qualify as one of those guys? Let's pick that up after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Josh Allen sucks. He sucked. That was a fact.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheer to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.